Good morning, Water Dam. Not to North Castle. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. That was implanted. Every time there's a mic in front of me, there's want to go into that pose. I want to thank you for everyone who has been, who was involved in VBS. I want to especially acknowledge Lori Deacon and also Kelly Simpson. The kids keep asking. They kept asking, wow, who did this? Who did this? I want to meet them. I want to meet them. And I mean, they were so impressed with your love and the care that you put into all the decorations. And not only that, it helps so much in the teachings that, you know, so you saw the picture of the fiery furnace, right? Kelly designed it so that whenever a switch was turned on the back, there was a shadow of a fourth person. And the kids, they're just so mesmerized. And it brought the Bible story to life. And that's what children's ministry is like. Bringing the Bible to life because it is the living word of God. And, you know, thank you for your dedication. If Kelly, Lori, if you can stand up so we can recognize you. Thank you so much for... and for the nurses, you know, there was one day where they were so busy. So Sandy and Sharon, thank you so much for your work. And yeah, go ahead. You can applaud. And for I went over the last service, so I'm just gonna keep it short and sweet for everyone else that I lacked to mention. Do not be upset. It just meant that your reward is more secure in heaven because you're not stealing the credit now. But I cannot miss the staff members of this church. Marge, Pastor Dan, Pastor Jack, Scott. I mean, there's just like everything that I'm lacking. It took those people to support me from the back, plus Nika and Meredith. So thank you for all your work. So without further ado, the armor of God. It's like one of those. We live in a soundbite society, and I think soundbites without context is extremely dangerous. So to give you an example, let's play what is the context. So the first one is stop, drop, and roll. What is that for? What is that strategy for? When your body starts catching on fire, you stop, drop, and roll. It's not a strategy that you want to employ here right now. You just stop, drop, and roll. No, we don't sway that way, right? So the next one, put the vehicle into neutral and do not brake. The first service said that as well. But what I'm trying to do is, what I'm trying to depict is a situation when you encounter black ice, you know, so you put the vehicle into neutral. Not many people know that. Put the vehicle into neutral and do not brake. That's for hydroplaning and black ice. It's a little safety tip because we are safety conscious. Okay, this one is a little harder. Pull, aim, squeeze, and sweep. You guys are good. Yes, it's for a fire extinguisher. Pull the pin, squeeze the trigger, and then sweep side to side. You don't apply this when you're cooking. You don't apply this when you're taking care of a baby. So everything has its context. And the armor of God is one of those famous passages that we learn as kids. I can still remember myself being a kid, you know, imagining myself putting the full armor of God and to go attack the enemy. But without context, it's very dangerous. So the context. I'm going to geek out a little bit here and go into dissecting this passage. Pay attention to the following words that Matt read. Finally, so the word finally, be strengthened in the Lord and the strength of his power. That's Ephesians 6:10. Clothe yourself with the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against what? Against the schemes of the devil. So the three contexts here is the word finally. Be strengthened in the Lord, put on the full armor of God. Why is that? So that you can withstand against what? Against the schemes of the devil. So that is the context. And then it continued on, for our struggle is not against. Pay attention to that. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. So that is the context. How many people here know about the word chiastic? It's a chiastic movement. It's a poetry movement. So you start with A, B, C, D, and then you close with D, C, B, A. The book of Ephesians is full of that. So in the same way, I told you I'm going to geek out on you for a second. So finally, so that against the scheme of the devil. So I'm going to do a chiastic retreat. I'm going to talk about the schemes of the devil first. So first of all, we have to know our enemies. Our enemies showed up earlier in the book, in Ephesians 2. In Ephesians 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1. It says, "And although you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you formerly lived according to this world's present path, according to the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the ruler of the spirit that is now energizing the sons of disobedience." So again, our enemy is brought up at the beginning. The villain showed up at the beginning as the ruler of the kingdom of the air and spirit who is energizing the sons of disobedience. It showed up again in the closing, Ephesians 6. Our struggles is not against flesh and blood. Do you see the chiastic movement here? So it started out with the rulers of the kingdom of the air who are energizing the sons of disobedience. And then in chapter 6, it goes into not against the flesh and blood. So our struggles is not against the sons of disobedience. It's not against people. But it is against the rulers of the darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. The ruler of the kingdom of the air and spirit. You see the chiastic movement? All right. So that's talking about our enemies. So know our enemies. And then we go into the second one, so that we are able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now the question is, do we stand a chance? It is so hard to preach the sermon here in America. If you ask my wife, if you ask my friends who come from Indonesia, about this evil spiritual forces, this dark forces that we cannot see with our naked eyes, you will be amazed. You'll be amazed, like all these ghost stories that we talked about during camps, and then we finally laugh at the end. People struggle with those daily in different parts of the world. Matt, he's my birthday twin. So we both were born on February 24th, and we developed a special bond. And then several years ago, I gave him this book. I gave him this book called The Spirit of the Rainforest. And then for some reason, now this is the cool part where I tell you, throughout VBS, as hard as the Spirit of the Lord is working, we have the spirit, the evil spirit working in the same way. So Matt, he didn't know that I was preaching. But somehow, that book, Spirit of the Rainforest, stood out in his bookshelf. And then he picked it up, and then he finished it, like within a couple of days, I think. And that book detailed like the manifestation of the evil spirit down in the Amazon. It is scary. I mean, it is such a hard read. It is such a hard read. I don't give that book just to anyone. If I put, it's not even R rated, it's probably like an NC-17 rating. It is just a hard read. And that's because this force that this evil spiritual force is dark and heavy and powerful. It is so intimidating. But again, it's so hard to preach the sermon here because people are, I mean, this is the land of the braves. This is the land of opportunities, the land of gadgets and everything. And you, angels, you believe in angels? And people make mockeries of people who believe in the spiritual forces of gods and of evil. But make no mistake, it is real. It is powerful, and this force is not intimidated in the least tiny bit by you and me. No matter how much you work out, no matter how much power you have, how much fame you have, but they tremble in fear in the face of God. So this is the disclaimer, right? We're talking about the finally part now. Be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of his power. What I'm about to tell you, if you don't put your faith in Christ, if you don't place your faith in God, a lot of what I'm about to tell you is cringeworthy. And it is cringeworthy because the devil made it so. So during VBS, there's a call to faith for the kids. As much as we call them to faith, I would like to call you to faith. If you haven't placed your trust, your faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I invite you to come talk to me, to Pastor Dan, Pastor Jack, to Scott, to Matt. We'll have a great discussion. But if we don't do that, we don't stand a chance. It says, be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of his power. There's no mention here about us going on the offensive. It's about being strengthened in the Lord. Okay? Now, we have to know the enemy's strategies. And that's the good news because Ephesians laid out the strategies for us. I don't know how many of you were alive when 1992, when the Dream Team went to Barcelona and just dominated the world. Like everyone, every basketball team in the world were scared of, were intimidated by this powerhouse called the USA. But fast forward now to 2021, they're not so scary anymore because the world is paying attention to the strategies. More NBA basketball are being broadcasted. So they get to know the strategies of the U.S., so they're not so intimidating anymore. The same way, we have to know the strategies of the enemies. And to put it into context, chapter 1 to chapter 5 in the book of Ephesians laid out the areas in which the devil is going to attack. The number one area is the unity. So in the church, it mentioned the differences between the Jews and the Greeks. If you don't know the background, I preached about this 2 years ago. The difference between the Jews and the Greeks is like the difference between Republicans and Democrats, between the left wings and the right wings, between the liberals and the conservatives. And I was just saying this to Marge earlier. In the church, is between the planners and the freewheelers. while the planners go, ah, the freewheelers go, woohoo. So sin attacked the unity. It made us focus on the differences instead of why. Why did God create us to be so different? Because without one, it just doesn't happen. Things don't happen. Or things happen, but they're not happening well. So the recipe for that is Jesus made it possible for us to have peace. Because we were once enemies. We were once part of the sons of disobedience who are energized by the evil spirit. But because of Jesus' ministry, because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, God adopted us to be part of his family. From enemies to family. So when we're in the face of our enemies, if you're in this building, we're family. No matter what our political affiliations are, no matter whether we are planners or freewheelers, or whether we put our toilet roll paper forward or backwards, or whether we squeeze the toothpaste from the middle or from the end, it doesn't matter. We're family. So the next area of attack is on the family. So starting verse 5, chapter 5, verse 22. Again, this is the cringeworthy part. Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. This passage is shouted at, stepped on by the world today. Misogynistic. Sexist. But we forgot the context of this verse. In the beginning, God created men. Man meaning humanity. He created them in his likeness. Male and female, he created them. The image of God is not complete without the male and the female. In the Bible, there is no such thing as submitting to one another as a sign of weakness. There's no such thing. Our Lord Jesus submit to the will of the Father up to the point where he died on the cross for your sin and my sin. Is it a sign of weakness? No, it is not. But the devil made it weird. The devil made it weird when we are called to submit to one another, to stand below someone's authority. So the male and female identity is being attacked by the spirit, by the evil spirit. And then the next one about parenting. So on chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then fathers, do not exasperate your children. But it says to raise them up in the instructions and discipline in the Lord. If you look at children's shows today in Nickelodeon or Disney, the parents are always at the brunt of the children's jokes. They were made to be the fools. It is not supposed to be that way. Raise them up in the instructions and discipline of the Lord. The next one, on verse 5, the devil is attacking the workplace. It says here, workers, obey your human master with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not like those who do their work only when someone is watching. Obey with enthusiasm as those serving the Lord. How many of us here go to work on Monday saying that, woohoo, Monday! And then when you read that email from your boss, you go, I'm going to obey with enthusiasm. It's an attack. It's an attack in the workplace where the devil made it weird to obey with enthusiasm. If you see someone positive who's like, I am excellent, yes, I will do what you were telling me to do, that guy's weird. That guy's not normal. And that's because the devil influenced the world's view today and made that weird. Let me take you a little bit through God versus evil. The identity part. According to God, according to the Bible, our identity is given to us. Male and female, God created them in his image, in his likeness. Our identity is given to us. But to the world, our identity is assumed. Oh, you're free to be whoever you want to be, right? Last time I checked, Facebook has 55 gender identity. It's assumed. You can be whoever you want to be. If you put your mind to it, you can do anything. Follow the template. Follow the template of marriage. The book of Ephesians quoted Genesis. Jesus quoted Genesis to define marriage. It is not good for a man to be alone, so a man shall leave the father and mother and be united, be one with his wife. But then the world today, love is love. Why do you have to follow a standard that is established by an ancient book that is outdated? But the Bible calls us to follow the template. As Christ loved the church and gave his life for the church. Unconditionally, we are the church. You know what we've done. You know what we continually do. We sin against the holy God who created the heaven and earth. But he lovingly died for us. And continue to pray for us. Continue to advocate on our behalf. So should husbands treat their wives lovingly. Condescendingly, meaning stooping down, be the doormat of the wives. And wives, as the church, submit to Christ unconditionally. It doesn't say, husbands, love your wife if they respect you like the church respect Christ. Do we respect Christ? We say we do. Do we respect him all the time? Same thing with the wives. Only submit to your husbands if your husband is Christ-like. I don't know about that. So follow the template. But the world says follow the trend. This book is outdated. It's no longer in trend. Follow the trend. That is an attack by the enemy on our identity. But again, of course, if we're not placing ourselves under the authority of God, all the stuff that I'm spilling to you, they're cringeworthy, right? But again, if you want to stand a chance against the spiritual forces, stand with the Lord. And with work, privilege versus right. It is a privilege to work because we have to work as if we are working for Christ. We are serving Christ. The world says, oh, I'm a worker. I'm entitled to have a good working condition. I'm entitled to have equal pay. I'm entitled to this, to that. Well, you're not going to have peace, friends. Work is a privilege, not a right. Again, working for Christ. But the world says you work for anyone else but Christ. You work for yourself. You work for your families. So be aware that these are all attacks. with that, going into the armor of truth, the full armor of God, the belt of truth. Do you know why belts are so important for the Roman armies? Because they wear it on and off duty to show their identity, that I belong to the Roman army. And then whenever they are, if enemy attacks, they can just gird their loins onto the belt and then be ready to fight. They attach their breastplate onto the belt. They attach their sword onto the belt. The belt is that important. So the belt of truth, our identity, have to stand on the truth. And the truth is the word of God. Who our God is. Whom he called us to be. Next is the breastplate of righteousness. In this day and age, it's not popular because righteousness is a concept that is given to us. We don't attain it. There's no good that we do, or there's no bad that we need to avoid in order to get righteousness. Righteousness is given to us. And in order for it to be given to us, we have to be in the lower position to receive it. This is not a popular idea in this world. The shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. The Roman shield is designed so geniusly. I mean, it has this curve, so it deflects enemies' arrows with minimal force. And then when used together in a formation, we can protect one another. That is the picture of a church. Our faith protects ourselves, but we protect one another. And our helmet of salvation will take care of the rest. When you have faith, God will give you salvation that you need to avoid the fiery furnace. The sword of the Spirit. I told you as a little kid, I was like, yeah, go get the sword, go get the enemy. This is actually a sword, a short sword meant for defense. When the enemy fired arrows, they're firing it from afar. But when they're up close to you, when they're face to face, you have to use this short sword to defend yourself. And that is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the decree of God. But if we don't know the Bible, how are we going to stand against the enemy when he is face to face with us? I entitled the sermon Enemies at the Gates, but sometimes they're already inside the gates. We just don't know it. So be diligent in reading the Word of God and trying to understand it. The gospel shoes of readiness. So Roman shoes have spikes. These are not meant for running, but to hold your position in any kinds of terrain. And the readiness comes from the gospel of peace, from the ministry of peace that Jesus worked on when he made us from enemies to be family of God. And we should rest on that, stand firm on that. And that's the armor of God. Now, application. Don't be fooled. Know your enemies. Our enemies is not flesh and blood. It's not against the sons of disobedience. Our struggle is against the spiritual powers that has its claw like a vice gripping the world. Second is, don't be conceited. Know our place. Know our place. They are not intimidated by us. They are only intimidated by the God who protects us. So place yourselves under his protection. Don't be unprepared. Know our strategy. Live in unity. Live in love. And put on the full armor of God. For marriage, it is a God-ordained institution. So follow the template, like Christ and the church. But if you're married and you're not part of a church, how can you understand the dynamics of marriage correctly. For parenting, I've given up on how to raise children because I do not know. I do not understand children, even though I once was. I don't understand. These are different times. But God knows them. God knows them. So raise the children in discipline and instructions of the Lord. So you know, He will give you wisdom when to discipline, when to let things go, how to love them appropriately, when to hold back, when to give generously. Because He understands your children better than anyone else in the world. Any counselors in the world, any therapists in the world, any preachers in the world. Raise them in the Lord. And last, for work, be fruitful. Be fruitful and work as if we are serving the living God, not as if we're serving our bosses, ourselves. And that's going to give you peace. Let's pray. Lord, we beg your forgiveness for our ignorance. We ask for your protection against our enemies. We cannot do a thing against them, but you ask us to stand firm under your protection. And we pray that we raise up our kids to be your warriors, to be your disciples. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How do I know that the evil spirit was at work during VBS? The breastplate of righteousness in the original curriculum was changed into the breastplate of justice. And I think somewhere along the way, the influence got so far that, oh, the concept of righteousness is so hard to teach to little kids. Let's just do it into the breastplate of justice. However, the Spirit of the Lord was at work because during VBS, when we asked, what's the second piece of armor? Everybody said, the breastplate of righteousness. Let's pray. May the love of God the Father, may the abounding grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all until the day when we see God face to face. And in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Have a great week, folks, and thank you for your support for our children.